What if there really was just one woods where all the fairy tales and myths take place? One magical, enchanted forest where all those characters are wandering around, getting into trouble. We'll put that to music, and you have Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine's landmark musical, Into the Woods. Steve Paulson celebrates its 25th anniversary by talking with Sondheim himself.
Once upon a time,
I wish,
in a far-off kingdom,
more than anything,
lived a fair maiden, a sad young lad,
I wish,
and a childless baker.
More than life,
I wish,
with his
more
wife.
Than anything,
more than the moon.
Why did you want to mix together all these classic fairy tales, you know, Little Red Riding Hood, Cinderella, Jack and the Beanstalk, into one story?
Well, it started out because James Lapine, who wrote the book, and I, after we'd written Sunny in the Park with George, I said, let's do another one. He said, what kind of show would you like to do? I said, I'd like to write a quest musical, something along the lines of The Wizard of Oz, some kind of quest with a kind of a fantasy feeling, a fantasy quest. And so James said, how about if, and then he came up with this idea of using characters from different fairy tales, all of whom would meet. And so that's how that came about.
The way is clear, the light is good. I have no fear, nor no one should. The woods are just trees, the trees are just wood. I sort of hate to ask it, but do you have a basket? Into the woods and down the dell, the path is straight, I know it well. Into the woods and who can tell what's waiting on the journey? Into the woods to bring some bread to Granny who is sick in bed. Never can tell what lies ahead, for all that I know she's already dead. But into the woods, to grandmother's house and home before dark.
And I suppose the setting, the woods, brings another dimension to it, because, of course, this has its own kind of mythic ancient history.
Well, you know, many folk tales take place in the woods. And, you know, as Bettelheim pointed out, it represents the unconscious. I'm sure there are many other people who've talked about the woods in folk tales. The fact that folk tales have lasted for the number of centuries they have means that they have very large and important metaphoric values to them, or they wouldn't have lasted.
But it's interesting, because in your book, you reflect on, for instance, the sort of the deep meaning of the woods, and you say it's the all-purpose symbol of the unconscious, the womb, the past, the dark place where we face our trials and emerge wiser or destroyed.
Yes, but the key word in that sentence is all-purpose. That's, it represents anything you want it to represent. That's what I was saying. So the point is, it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's irrelevant what it represents because that doesn't affect the telling of the story.
Making the characters come alive, making the characters so you feel like you can connect to them.
Well, character is story. I mean, you know, they're simultaneous. That's all we were concentrating on was story / character and plot.
Haven't some people responded to the second act of Into the Woods as perhaps too dark? I mean, some of your characters die, and, you know, this goes past the usual telling of a fairy tale.
No. You know, it depends on which version of fairy tales you hear. You know, you when you get the Grimm Brothers versions of certain fairy tales, there's a great deal of blood and weirdness going on. The Grimm version of Cinderella is not the one that everybody knows. The one that everybody knows is the Perrier version, which is a much more whitewashed, pleasant version. But no, folk tales are filled with violence and death.
It's because of you there's a giant in our midst and my wife is dead. But it isn't my fault I was given those beans. You persuaded me to trade away my cow for beans. And without those beans, there'd have been no stalk to get up to the giants in the first place.
Wait a minute, magic beans for a cow so old that you had to tell a lie to sell it, which you told. Were they worthless beans? Were they old?
Logically, you know, you cut down a beanstalk and a giant falls, it should have a consequence. If you're going to tell this on the stage, it should lead someplace. And James decided that it would lead to the fact that the giant had a wife and that the characters who caused the giant's death had to face the consequences of it.
Though I chopped down the beanstalk, right, that's clear, but without any beanstalk, then what's queer is how did the second giant get down here in the first place, second place?
Yeah, how?
Well, who had the other...
I was interested to read that you added a song for the London production, Our Little World, because you wanted to give the witch some maternal feelings for her daughter.
Yeah, but since so much of it deals, so much of the plotting deals with her feeling about her daughter, not to show the two of them having a good time together, seemed to be cheating, and you had to see some kind of fondness going on instead of just the snarling and the frustration that Rapunzel feels being locked in the tower. So it's a tiny moment, but it was meant to be sort of playful between the mother and daughter.
Our little world is all that needs to be.
Perfect.
Brushing my hair, combing my hair, only my mother and me and my hair. Our little world is perfect. If she just wouldn't drool.
Now, I have heard that one of the more recent productions of Into the Woods was actually set in the woods in London's Regent Park.
Yep.
That must have been kind of magical.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And there's a good chance that we may do it in Central Park, which would be a swell setting for it. Yeah, there was no stage per se. The entire set was made of trees and twigs and kind of makeshift wooden ladders and platforms that were like parts of the trees and parts of the woods. So the whole thing indeed took place in the woods.
Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine's musical Into the Woods just celebrated its 25th anniversary. Sondheim talked with Steve Paulson.